I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You have one new voice message. New voice messages.
Hello, where are you? I've been hot for over 7 minutes. And honestly, I've been sat here and not a single person has recognized me. And I don't feel like I need attention. So get here right now. All right. Bye-bye.
Deleted.
And welcome to Daddy Look At Me,
a podcast where myself, Helen Bauer, and Rosie Jones sit down and talk to our favourite people from the world of showbiz about attention, childhood, and of course, Daddy.
Great to have you here. Now let's crack on with the show.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome to Daddy Look At Me.
You look at me, you piece of shit.
Daddy, just for once in your life, look at me.
Now, my daddy, Rosie Jones, daddy.
Yeah.
Daddy, you were on TV.
I was.
Again.
Yeah.
And you had a special moment, which... Yeah. Is the talk of this office that we record the podcast in.
Yeah.
Lovely Helen on reception.
Yes.
Was very, very excited about this.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about what you did?
I don't know when it will come out.
Well, it was on TV quite a while ago. Yeah. Let's just assume that.
Probably last year. So I was on a show called The Last Leg.
Great show, big fans.
Great show. And it's topical, it's comedy. So I spent all day writing topical jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Got on there. You know what? I didn't do any of my jokes.
It's hard to get a word in on those panel shows.
Yes. And Alex Brooker insulted me.
Unbelievable.
So I went to bat his leg away. I did not bat his leg away. I hit him in the bollocks.
Hard. Don't make it sound like you were just tapping his leg away. It was like a proper, it looks like an attack.
Yeah. It kind of was.
Yeah, but then you do that whole, like, cute I'm Rosie thing afterwards where you look, oh, I'm so shocked, I can't believe I touched your ball. Oh, my goodness, how could I do it? And you look. But if you look in your eyes, you can see the
in
joy.
In your dead eyes.
In your dead... We don't know if I've said dead eyes yet, okay?
So...
Oh, my God. Right, you have dead eyes. It's not on me. That's on you and your genetics. Ivo, do you think Rosie has dead eyes?
No, if anything, it's the opposite.
Oh, you prick!
Piercingly.
Are you really struggling with my word game?
That's the main thing I'm focusing on.
Ed Gamble would have done it by now.
Yes, I'm very sure that Ed Gamble would have done everything to an excellent standard.
Shall we intro our...
Do you want to just apologise maybe to Alex Brooker for hitting him in the balls live on TV?
No.
I would like to apologise on behalf of Rosie. I don't think it's appropriate.
I think I will do it again.
Will you grab my tits halfway through recording most days?
Yeah, but that's not accidental.
Yeah, and also I do fucking love it. Like, it feels good. Makes me feel powerful. Makes me feel loved. Touch them now, please. Thank you. It's so squidgy.
Yeah.
I know, they're great wabs.
Touch them, man.
I mean, they're just... But you wear underwired bras, so yours look better. I'm just like flapping around. I'm fine with it. Hey, we've got a lovely guest, don't we? He's really pissed off right now.
I've spent so long looking at it that I've locked myself out of your phone.
Ivo Graham!
Hello, Iva.
Hello, Rosie and Helen.
Iva, we gave you a word challenge to play with. All you needed to do is think of one five-letter word, middle letter N,
yes.
And you couldn't get a single one.
But using the letters below.
Yes.
Yeah.
G-N-K-Y-V-I-L.
Yes, so it has to end unky, like linky or something.
Yes. But,
I couldn't work out what it was.
Do you want to tell us that you like had a good education and you should be embarrassed
yes.
right now?
Eton and Oxford. What a waste
of
life.
Did you go to Eton?
Yeah, obviously.
Shut up!
Google your guests.
Don't
just do the first
I'm
bit of
genuinely,
research.
I'm so obsessed with Eton. I've watched like 4 documentaries on it. Oh my God, no. Were you one of those little boys that got sent away from home to go to boarding school at like 6?
What? Yes, 7.
I know. I watched a documentary on those kids.
My life was that documentary.
Mate, did you cry? Were you in the dorm rooms crying?
Yes, it was a solid term of crying and then things got better.
Documentaries.
What's the word? Can you
I don't know. I don't.
Well,
if I knew it, I wouldn't have had to give it to you because I'd assume that with your education.
To say what the word
no,
is.
Because then I have to use my coins and then I'd have to win more. I can get you one more letter.
Can
do you
I
want one
pay,
more
can
letter?
Can I pay you to do it? Yeah, give me one more letter.
I'll give
please.
You one more letter. So it starts
it
with a V.
Inky. Vink. Vinley.
Vinley?
No, it's not Vin. It's obviously not Vinley. That's not a.
Vinky.
It definitely is a V-I-N, isn't it?
It's gotta be.
Vinky.
Vinky?
But what does that mean?
Vingy? Vinley? Final!
Final, yeah.
Oh,
no.
Oh, it's final. Look, we won the level! And now I've got 26 coins.
It pains me that I was not able to do that.
So why didn't you know the word vinyl?
Because I became obsessed with it ending in KY and I didn't consider other options. And I don't have vinyl on the brain because I'm not one of those record collector chaps. Or ladies.
I'm sorry that you've had such a rough start to this podcast.
Yes.
Okay. I know it's not easy for you, and this is going to get so much harder.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Iva, we're going to dive into your childhood.
Yeah. You haven't dived into anything.
Issues.
You didn't even know I went to Eton.
Are you fucking kidding me? Why are you slagging me? Well, then, Rose,
how did you not know?
I don't want to assume.
It's in every bio. It's all I've got.
But I haven't Googled you.
No, that's absolutely
because I know
fine.
You. We've gigged together, so I don't have to Google you.
That's a logic of
where
thought.
Where did I go to school?
I don't know. Somewhere less expensive, I imagine, statistically.
Well, it was a school that was round the corner, the local one.
What a treat.
Cornwall School.
Did you cry for a term?
Intermittently.
Lovely.
Like nothing about just in general, just for fun.
Well, we all cry occasionally.
Yeah.
And it can be very cathartic.
Yeah.
But I never had to. I wasn't sent away from home at 7.
People say sent away. It's sort of semi-optional.
Do you remember when your mum and dad said,
"We don't want you at home anymore"?
They didn't phrase it like that. They said, "There are some great opportunities waiting for you in Oxford, and all you've got to do is not see us for 3 weeks at a time." And I understood the logic behind it because I was very mature.
Oh my God!
You don't need to coo that much.
I'm not. I'm just like it just explains you so much.
What was the documentary you watched?
So it was the boys were at Sunningdale.
Right.
I want to say, and it was a group of girls as well. And it was like they were calling. They told the parents don't call in the first week. They need to just have the separation.
Very true.
And these poor girls, so young, like babies, just crying. Like I want my mum. I want my mum. And the matron just being like, "Oh, you can talk to me, but you have to go into your room now." And yes. Lights off. And I was like, "Oh, I can't, I can't."
But the matron isn't their mum.
She's not their mummy.
But they do have. They're very good maternal presence. The matrons and the dames.
The
dames. Yes.
Who are the dames? Or Dame Judi Dench.
Every house is a dame. It would have been an honour to be looked after by Dame Judi Dench, but she was too busy with work. Every house has a dame who's like a sort of matron, and they're in charge of the pastoral care, usually religious. It was a good time. It was a simple time.
And then you went straight from there to Eton.
I didn't actually. I went to a day school in Australia for 3 years because my dad got a job there.
Now, Ivo, speak to us and speak to us true.
Yes.
Okay, do you feel like you got enough attention as a child?
Yes.
did you ever seek more attention than what you received?
I mean, sometimes,
your parents
course.
Are paying for other people to give you attention at the end of the day.
Through the nose. I know you'd like me to say that I didn't get enough attention, and this is just one big story.
No, to say anything. Why are you being like that?
There is a preconceived neglect narrative that you've brought into this room. It serves your podcast well if I was neglected as a child.
I mean, I'd rather that, but like...
Of course, that's what you want. We all want to get into the iTunes top 10 with some trauma, but this isn't the Griefcast, and I broadly had a very nice time at school.
You know what? I listened to the Griefcast. It's very good.
It's a very good podcast.
It's very good.
If only someone I knew could die so I could get on it.
You must have had someone die.
Yes, but
how
not,
about your childhood spirit at seven when you got sent away?
Great stuff. That's really good, but I don't think Carrie Ad's wasting an hour of her time on that. Not like you chumps.
Whoa! Ivo, I'm going to need you to give me and Rosie a compliment each right now.
Oh, right. Helen, you're absolutely holding this podcast together despite my belligerence. And Rosie, you're very violent on live television.
And in real life.
And in real life, of course. Yeah. But a lot of people are in real life, but a lot of people freeze up when the cameras start rolling.
Now I want to be my true self.
That's exactly
a violent little fuck boy.
And the nation's taken it to their heart. That's what's nice. Whereas Brooker is, you know, the nation want to see Alex Brooker punched in the crotch.
Yeah.
They really did. That was weird how everyone was with you.
So many comments were, can we see that again in slow motion?
Well, that's what they'll be doing this week, of course. They love to use the best bits of last week to not pad out, but to fill up the following week's episode and create a sort of rolling narrative around the show. So you're basically on the last leg again on the Friday. Yeah.
Ivo, I don't know if anyone's ever told you this, but it's not fun watching you deconstruct everything around you.
No.
I like it.
No, it's not a fun personality trait.
No, I like it.
All right, Anne. Well, you give me some pointers on the kind of person you'd like to meet, like me to be.
Well, I want you to be, like, tragically scarred. I want self-harm scars up your arms. I want you to have, like, daddy issues. I want you to, like, really open up to us.
I know that it's all the rage for people to sort of go deep into their self-harm on podcasts these days.
Yes.
But I quite literally don't have the scars. And I think it would
fuck's sake!
I think it would be jarring for you. Even you, Helen, would get embarrassed if I suddenly revealed that I did have self-harm scars. And
What does even you mean?
Even you, Helen, a woman
imagine
seemingly
that.
Impervious to embarrassment would be astonished.
I feel shame.
Do you?
No, I haven't for a while. It's been quite a while.
Listen, it's not an insult, it's a compliment.
No, it's psychotic.
It's obviously there's a psychotic element, but you're able to breeze through life in a more carefree manner. It's to your immense credit.
Maybe it's because my parents sort of raised me with me at home and didn't feel the need to send me away, so I'd have to create this world around me where I was closed off.
But they took over to Australia.
That's exactly a little 3-year holiday from the prison. Very good time there.
So the prison, here we go.
I'm starting to use the kind of language that you want. I understand. It was a cold, hard place.
But that was just a normal school.
It was a normal.
Not normal, the other school.
Which one? The one in England?
I'm going to say the one in England wasn't a normal school and it was a torture chamber.
It was a torture chamber, whereas in Australia it was just a 9 a.m. till 3 p.m. summer camp, essentially. Just, you know, few classes hither and thither and then off to the beach with mum and dad.
Where in Australia were you?
I lived in Sydney.
Very cool.
Amazing.
It was a nice time. And I when we left there, I was genuinely... There were more tears, I think. I'd say the two big years for tears were 1998, going to boarding school for the first time, and 2004.
What about 97 when Diana died and Titanic came out? That was a big year for tears for the nation.
Very good. Very quick off the mark with 97.
I cried a lot.
Yeah, 97 was a year for the nation.
I didn't watch Titanic until last year, and Diana, I couldn't really emotionally involve myself with it at the age of 7.
I was 7 and I cried the morning Diana died.
I was 6 and I was fine.
Because they didn't have Alive and Kicking.
Right.
I was absolutely gutted. I woke my mum and dad up and said, Bummy, I don't know what's happening, but life and kicking isn't on and somebody's had a broken car.
You've been through so much.
Is that how they found out that Diana died? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Can you tell us everything about eating?
Of course.
I'm so intrigued.
They pass something in the quadrant and they have to walk on different sides of it depending on if they've done their exams or not, I think.
I don't remember having to do that.
Okay, fuck it. I must have read it somewhere.
No, but some of these traditions do exist, but they aren't really observed. I know that's the most boring answer I can give.
Do you know Prince William and Prince Harry?
No, they're older than me. We didn't overlap. Apparently,
do you know Benedict Cumberbatch?
No, he's much older than me. We didn't overlap. I know Prince Friedrich von Preußen of Germany. He's in my
Guile!
That's the celeb spot you wanted.
How awesome is he?
The good guy. Actually, I saw him at a wedding last weekend. We had a chat about how actually we'd become better friends since school. It was really nice.
Who got married?
My friend Julian. It was a non-religious ceremony, and I was the officiator.
Congratulations! Well done.
It was a real honour.
And was it also like emotional for you?
It
like,
was quite emotional
being part of it and watching him interact with his father and your father not being there.
My father wasn't there because Daddy's never there, and also brackets wasn't invited to the wedding.
Now, how is your relationship with Daddy?
You were jumping about all over the place.
No, we're not. This is actually one of the best ones we've done.
It is a structure-free affair, this podcast.
Jack, can you agree with us and say this is the best like narrative we've ever had?
You're both right. It is structure-free.
Yeah.
But
it is also remarkably structured.
Okay, apart from when we did that 9/11, the towers are weird how they fell.
Yeah.
I cannot take any comfort from the knowledge that other podcasts have been worse.
They really have.
I mean, I was there thinking, oh my God, we're cracked.
Yeah, I was genuinely thinking, we're doing so well this time.
Yeah. Play it cool, but we are nailing it.
Parents sent you away from home. They didn't want you there.
They wouldn't want me. But can I just
say, the success you thought you would be by this point in your life.
Well, that's undeniably
true.
Sometimes
you show up to shows and no one bought a ticket.
Frequently in Leicester. But we all struggle in Leicester.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah,
we had a great time.
Oh, right. Well, that's good to hear. Perhaps I could exit fly. I'll tell you something though about my dear mother. She did cry a lot when I went away to boarding school. So whether or not those were crocodile tears, it did give me some confidence as a 7-year-old that the sadness was at least two directions.
With your voice now, I'm picturing you at 7 years old when your mum's crying, being like, well, I'm not sure, mother, if those are crocodile tears or not. Actually questioning her at that age, being like, are these real or fake, mother? It's hard to tell with you and your emotions.
That's what we were told by the headmaster, Mr. Badham Thornhill. He'd say, a lot of your mothers will cry, but those tears are crocodile tears and they don't want you. And that's how we would be absorbed into the school's way of thinking.
Were you aware of, like, one second, I want to ask this question, but it sounds so dodgy.
I'm excited about the question.
No, because I can't do it because I'm going to back out of it.
Is it a boarding school fiddling question? Because we were going to get to those eventually.
It wasn't a boarding school, but it would make it sound like that.
Did your teachers ever try and comfort you during the homesick periods?
One teacher that you would go to that was sort of like a parent, that was like, but even more so because it's boarding school, then I realised it immediately sounded like who tugged you off?
Yeah. Yes.
Who gave you the rub down?
That's exactly it. It's a very slippery slope from a pat on the shoulder to a lovely
but my
tug.
My question was wholesome. It was wholesome. Yeah.
Yes, obviously some teachers were nicer than others, and I do remember that there was a teacher whose name, the thing is, I'm very happy to say his name because it is a story about him being a great teacher, but you know, in your hands, the pedo jokes will be flowing within seconds.
I'm not gonna do that.
I'm just gonna call him Mr. C.
And
a great teacher, a great man.
Mr. C, an absolute rotter who if there's any justice in the world, will be in some jail right now.
Broadmoor.
Yes, ideally, or Wormwood Scrubs. Rosie, do you want to name a jail?
Pentonville's a men's prison.
Pentonville's very good.
Birmingham men's prison.
Alcatraz.
Alcatraz is definitely the most dramatic of all the prisons. If Mr. C isn't in Alcatraz, he'll have got off very lucky indeed. I think it's actually been decommissioned, Alcatraz.
Yeah,
it's
totally out of business. Just do that.
Yes, exactly.
Judge.
Some prisoners are still on Alcatraz. Some fiddlers never die. So
what,
Mr.
like
C,
their spirits never leave?
I don't even know what I meant by it, to be honest. I'm in free fall, as established. Mr. C comforted me when I remember I was eliminated from the school backgammon tournament in 1999. And this was probably...
I'm not having a school backgammon tournament being a thing.
I'll try and picture what it might have involved.
What is backgammon? Is it a card game?
And it's not a card game. It's a bit like chess. It's a game with counters, and you're trying to move the counters around the board.
Oh, counters.
So there was a tournament. I thought that I would cheer up my homesick heart by winning the tournament, or at least getting to the latter stages. But I went out in the first round, and I remember very vividly going to seek comfort in the not literal arms of Mr. C, but his reassuring words. And he's a good guy, and he and his family now live on the South Coast, and I did a gig at the Bridport Arts Centre in 2017, and they all came. And we would have gone out for dinner afterwards if there'd been anywhere open. As it turned out, there wasn't. So I just had to shake his hand and get in the car and go home. But he was a good man.
Aww. I love that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ivo, do you want to talk about how you're a dad now, or do you want to just, like, be a dick?
Yeah, it's very rewarding, blah, blah, blah. Come on!
Wait, so you never sought attention as a child, though?
I did want attention.
Did you seek attention at school? Like, were you the good boy, the joker?
Great question, Rosie. We're on track.
It is a good question, and I'm going to give it a damn good answer.
Yes.
Just give me a second just to ponder it. So as I say, my life was thrown wildly off course. not when I was sent to boarding school. That was par for the course.
Yes.
But in fact, when I was taken away from boarding school and forced to reinvent myself at an Australian day school in 2001. Now,
that's a difficult year for many people.
You're going to link that to some national tragedy. Of course, September.
That was an easy link.
What tragedies happened in 2001?
Yeah, 2001.
What happened? I was growing up the day off school.
Also, the 4-year memorial of Red Diana's death as well.
Very difficult. Some people watch Titanic again. Even more moving the second time round. But as far as I recall, at Summerfields, the prep school I went to when I was 8 years old or 7 years old, my 8th birthday was my second day there. And yes, there were tears. I've never been able to truly enjoy birthdays since. But I
felt like that was true.
Yeah, just because I put on a funny voice doesn't mean that I'm not actually feeling these things from the heart. So I think I was all right. Popularity-wise, I think I did a solid job at my first boarding school. Mm-hmm. I wasn't the biggest fish in the pond, but I was creating some small waves. And I remember when I went away to Australia, because very few people left the school despite the trauma. So the fact that I was leaving early was noteworthy enough. And I remember some of my schoolmates, organised by two chaps called Alex Doughty and Charlie Skillen. They got a football, and everyone wrote messages wishing me one on the football.
Sweet.
And I don't think it's completely arrogant and self-obsessed to look back and suggest that that's a testament to the fact that I had some pals at the school, and there was
a
certain degree of respect for what I was trying to achieve.
There was a love for me.
Yeah. And, I left a hole. Then I went to Australia and I reinvented myself. I had that English thing going on.
Yes.
They were intrigued by that. There were a few jokes about Jeeves and Worcester, etc., but I settled into that humour.
Little kids are making jokes about Jeeves and Worcester.
Very well-read children. Sydney Grammar School was a good school as well.
Holy shit.
And
freaky children as well.
Freaky, well-read children with parents egging them on. And at Sydney Grammar, I think I also had some mates and some laughs, but it is exhausting. It's exhausting reinventing yourself. And when I went to Eton, I think I'd slightly run out of steam on the old popularity front, and I was struggling to adapt back to boarding school life, and I kept myself to myself a bit more. And also, the game had changed. When you're a teenager, I think the gulf widens between the shy chaps and the loud
for
chaps.
Sure. There's less kindness in general.
There's
more insecurity.
And there's less social mobility.
Yes.
If you're shy, you are retreating into yourself even more because it's such a battleground. Mm-hmm. And if you are naturally a shouter, you're shouting even louder to make yourself heard. And so then I would say my attention seeking, which had been developed earlier in my life and an enjoyment of that, it got shut down at school, and it got pushed to one side. So I became very attention seeking in my family in the holidays because that was my reaction against sort of not really having much of a Bauer's got her hand up.
I have a question about your family holidays. Can I just make a quick general assumption?
Yes.
And I know when we assume, I make a cunt of everyone.
Very nice.
Thank you. That was lovely, right?
She pulls back and lo, she reveals.
But I feel like your family holidays, I don't feel like you were going to Alicante. I feel like you were going to like the Cambodian killing fields and Japanese prisoner of war camps.
While every day with my family is a prisoner of war camp.
Yes!
We didn't go to... I've never been to Cambodia.
What? You go to museums, though, but, and art galleries.
Yeah, of course.
Not of course.
I think it's the very least you can do on a family holiday to try and consume a bit of culture.
Yeah, my family were very much a museum and art gallery family. We didn't go to the beach. We didn't go to Disneyland. Oh, fuck you.
What was your best ever family holiday, Rosie?
Barbados.
Oh, see, that sounds great.
That we go every year.
You went to Barbados every year? Christ.
And when I was 11, we went to Changi Prison to learn what it was like to be a Japanese prisoner of war.
Another prison?
Mm-hmm.
I've been to
Auschwitz, Dachau,
Birkenau.
But you lived in Germany when you were growing up.
As an adult, not as a kid.
What's your favourite prison?
There's a lovely looking one in just outside of Dublin, in Ireland.
Lovely looking prison.
Lovely looking prison.
For lovely looking prisoners.
On holiday.
I remember we'd go to Europe, I guess. We'd go to France a bit. Nice. We had some family friends who lived in Geneva, so we'd go and see them, and we'd occasionally go skiing with them. The stereotypes are true. when we lived in Australia, that was a nice chance to go and visit other parts of Australia, so we had a
lovely
lot of
stuff.
Fun doing that. And
you go into the bush.
That's
good.
That's very good, actually. I'm not going to try and do the accent myself because...
Because you're too scared.
I'm actually a bit scared, and I don't have your natural ease with this sort of thing. Do you do accents, Rosie?
Yeah. Well, do you want to talk about...
Yeah.
Come on, you've hung out with Adam Hills enough. Try and get that Australian hosting going on.
Good day, mate. Hey, I'm a naughty. Shall we talk about siblings?
Absolutely, let's talk about siblings.
Do you have a sister?
I've got a sister and a brother, and they're both younger.
Oh,
I think we're into some good stuff here.
I
was excited.
Well, if you're seeking attention in your family and on family holidays and you've got two younger siblings, this is where the good stuff comes.
Yes. Who's Ivo Graham taking out his boarding school frustrations on? You're absolutely right. It's his younger brother. Do I regret that now? Of course. Did I have actually quite an intense conversation with my brother about it in a pub garden in Clapham on Saturday? Yes. Yes, I did.
Give us a bit of the conversation. Give us a moment that you did this.
My brother is 4.5 years younger than me. He is an absolutely excellent man, and I've known that for some time. When you're the age we are now, me, 28, him 24, that age difference doesn't matter so much, particularly now that he's graduated from university and moved to London. We're pals. We hang out with each other's pals. We're in the same five-a-side football team. We chat about life, love, and everything in between. But obviously, when you're teenagers or children, four and a half years is a slightly bigger gap. My sister's only a year and a half younger than me, and she was always very mature, so frequently it was the two of us, and then the little squitter, my brother. And
The squitter.
It metaphorically didn't have any bowel issues beyond beyond the normal. And I don't think, I think by the standards of most siblings, I don't think I was really bad at any point. And actually, my brother and sister were at the same school for a bit, and they were the ones who had a really tricky time when they were at the same school, because then you're just trying to constantly get one over the other on campus, which isn't ideal, whereas I was off at boarding school having my own private hell. But I do think occasionally I would lord it over my brother a bit on in the holidays. And then everything changed, as it did for all of us, with the arrival of Facebook, where you could bully from afar and in a much more public sphere. Yeah. And I remember being an absolute prick when I got Facebook and I was 18, and I was so excited to, I had a little bit of social capital and some female friends by this point, and I was off to uni and everything was going to be different.
You'd gone to Oxford, you were feeling good.
I'd got into Oxford, and I'm sure I could have got into Cambridge as well if only I'd applied, but you have to choose. And why not have a bit of arrogance amidst all the relentless self-deprecation? You've got to balance it out. I'm flawed, but on paper, I'm intelligent.
You're having a panic attack right now.
But I am a bit, but it's. But I feel. Do you mind? I'm monologuing, but you can cut this.
No, I love you.
You can cut this out.
No, keep going. I like a break.
So, but it was 2008. Everyone, I'm aware some early adopters got onto Facebook 2006, 7, but all the Grahams jumped on in the summer of 2008. And my brother was also enjoying his own sort of first flush of semi-pubescent social capital. You know, he had some female friends, he'd added them on Facebook. He was 14, the world was his oyster. And he was bantering, as you used to do back in the day. Remember when all banter was very public and there was lots of comments on walls, lots of comments under photos? There's less of that these days. Whereas in 2008, all I wanted was just red notification hit after red notification hit of my comments.
You're chasing
likes.
The dream.
That's all I wanted. Whereas now it's more about the private correspondence and really, really telling some people some very intense things in secret. And if the screen grabs find their way out, the screen grabs find their way out. But ultimately, it's at least meant to be private. So my brother was, he was just being a bit completely innocently, you know, just having a little bit of teenage swagger in one of his conversations underneath one of his profile pictures with a couple of girls. And I jumped in, my own hormonal insecurities raging, and made a couple of very cheap shots at the fact that my brother hadn't hit puberty yet. And who was I to judge? I'm not entirely sure I had at the age of 18. Certainly hadn't lost my virginity and wouldn't for another 3 years after my brother, which is the subject of my first Edinburgh show. Anyway,
this is so harrowing. I don't know
my
why.
Brother didn't take kindly to this as well
Lightly
he shouldn't.
Time, yeah.
And there was a long apology campaign required. I deleted the comments, obviously, but you can't delete the memories. And then later, I think the following year, I was doing my first bit of stand-up at the Fringe, and I was just grappling for any family anecdote I could.
I
told the story of this, and it was meant to be the story of how I'd been, you know, how I was the lame older brother, and how my younger brother is cool, and how I had had to resort to humiliating him in this pathetic way. But essentially, it's still saying, listen to how I humiliated my brother. And it was quite, I suppose, what you might call in 2019, although I'm aware this word is used in much more serious context, triggering for my brother. And he couldn't believe that after the trauma that it had caused in 2008, here I was downstairs at the Tron every single day in Edinburgh.
Lovely room.
Laughing. It was a lovely room, quite hot. And actually, my brother was 2 years, because they're very strict on their 18 plus, because it's a pub. And I remember my brother saying, I wasn't even allowed in to see the show where you humiliated me. He just had to kill time in a Starbucks. So
Why
know that Starbucks.
The one just exactly just up the mile.
Lovely stuff.
Lovely stuff. A great place for a 14-year-old boy to hang out.
Always a queue
out.
For the toilet there in Edinburgh.
Yes.
Watch out for that.
Yes, it's not ideal, but you've just got to plan your day.
Yeah.
So my brother and I'd say there hasn't been literally almost no acrimony for about 5 years on pretty much any topic. I love him so much. But it did come up just because we were sort of talking about the past. And I did think, God, that's not good, actually. That's not good at all. And it's such a cliche of like, not got enough attention at school, why not bully a younger sibling? Yeah, and I feel really sad that I fell into that trap so easily.
But do you want to say like a little apology to him now?
Oh, I think telling this story, it has been an apology.
Just have a little sincere moment. You're absolutely right.
That's a classic posh apology dodge. I think even by telling this story, it shows I'm pretty contrite. Yeah. But will you say sorry? I don't think he needs me to say sorry. I think it's perfectly clear how my feelings are. Luto, I'm extremely sorry for both the way I behaved and then the way I recounted that behaviour jovially, you might even say gleefully on
stage.
Don't
try and get a laugh during your apology.
Yeah.
Ludo, I'm sorry. I was a bad brother.
Oh, hi there. We're both really, really sorry to interrupt your listening of our amazing, amazing podcast. But Rosie and I have a special announcement because we're both at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival of Lights. Rosie, tell the beautiful folk where your show is.
My show, Backward, is at the Pleasant Chicago at every single bloody day at 7 p.m. Where are you?
I am opposite Rosie Jones in the Pleasance Courtyard at 6 p.m. and my show is called Little Miss Baby Angel Face and it's my first show and we'd love to see some of you there.
Come and that will be
because we're ready for the best summer of our lives.
See you there.
Yeah.
Now, Ivor, we've got a treat for you.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you for being open.
Thank you.
For being honest
thank
about the trauma.
Thank you for creating an environment in which I felt able to do that.
You're literally panicking. You've been like shaking your legs the whole time. You've got your arms crossed.
I'm quite a jittery person. I've taken my watch off, which is never a good sign.
You have. Now.
Thank you for speaking your truth.
Thank you for welcoming my truth.
Now we've got a treat for you.
Yeah.
Because we've got Daddy here.
Oh, God.
Who's going to help you out?
Oh, God.
Hello.
And be the daddy you always dreamed of.
Is it Rosie Jones?
I'm daddy.
Hello, daddy.
So,
thank you for saying that.
I bet not every guest says hello, daddy.
No.
Not enough.
And no, quite a lot of them say, no.
Yeah, it depends on the day for me.
Not
if I'm in the mood
okay.
For it or not.
I'm one of the best role players in the business.
Yeah. Well done.
No, I'm not. Oh, okay. That was
your
nice.
Daddy's your favourite.
Fuck off, are you serious? I'm right here.
Daddy has to pick a favourite, and today that's me.
Today. Right, so, as your daddy, we're going to go out, the three of us. Me, you, Ludo.
For a minute I thought I was invited again. Never mind.
No.
To be fair, my mum and sister also haven't made the cut, so you can hang out with them.
Oh,
I make good value.
Dad.
Great.
Oh, all my what I'm gonna tentatively call my biological father.
Oh yeah, secondary father. And we are going to make amends.
Please. As I say, I feel I've done that quite consistently.
Can you let your daddy talk about things for print? How about that? Shut your mouth and respect her.
Sorry that you didn't get invited on the outing, Helen.
I'm not fussed about that. I'm just fussed about respecting our elders.
Okay.
And now you're ready to get more angry.
Yes, always.
We're not going on just a normal day trip. We're going on holiday.
That's fantastic news.
No, because then you know I'll just be seeing it from home again. Pissed off.
and I'll have to resist the temptation to humiliate my brother in the traditional fashion.
You won't, though. I feel like you've grown.
I've grown.
As a brother and as a human being.
I'm going to go with your mum and sister to Disney World, Florida.
You have an absolutely great time with the gals. They're good value.
The gals.
Does
your mum have a good mum name?
No, she's just Mrs. Graham, ultimately. and she's to be respected, actually. She'll have a good time at Disneyland, though.
Mrs. Graham.
It's also reminded me this, if I may interrupt this lovely bit of daddy invite.
I'm done now.
Thank you, daddy.
In 2009, when I just started comedy.
Oh, I remember 2009, the year that Sri Lanka sunk.
Absolutely amazing gift for remembering tragedies. but it wasn't a tragic year for me. I was having a wicked time at uni. The ghosts of Eton laid to rest, and I was doing pretty well for a first timer at the old stand up, yet to dial my hole at the Leicester Mercury.
We don't talk about that.
However, I took that arrogance home with me, and I developed a persona which my brother now refers to as Smug Ivo. So in 2009, I was Smug Ivo, and I'm now not that person anymore. But he brings that up occasionally to keep me in check. If I'm ever getting a bit full of myself at a dinner party, he'll say, "Is this a return of Smug Ivo?" And it cuts me to my core.
He keeps you real. He keeps you real.
He keeps me so real.
I really like your brother.
He's a great guy. If only you were coming to Australia with us, but I'm afraid it's me.
Oh, fuck off!
Only room for three people on that prime.
The thing is, Australia, because like Rosie went to the... Have you done Melbourne International Comedy Festival?
I did the same show Rosie did this year, but last year.
Oh, congratulations!
Not for the first time. She's walking in my footsteps and she's taking bigger strides.
No.
Ivo, let's not do that, my love. We've had a nice time. Do you know what I mean? Let's not point out Rosie's doing better than you.
Yeah, no, you're right. Nice. There's no need for that. No.
Do you want to just plug your socials and then we can just leave it there?
It makes me sick, but you can find me on Twitter and Instagram, and I'm doing a show at the Edinburgh Fringe, and all of it is
available. What's your Edinburgh Fringe show?
I'll just Google it. It's called...
Oh, my God!
That's not to you. That's to the people at home. I find it astonishing in this day and age when people will say, and you can go to www.edfringe.com.
Yes, just follow you on Twitter or Instagram and everything important is on there.
It's so easy.
I'm with you. I'm fully with you. Fuck it. You know what? Just follow him on Twitter and Instagram.
Oh, I'm good on Twitter, actually.
Are you?
Good. Yeah. I don't do a lot of tweets, but when I do, they bang.
Actually, before you came in here, producer Jack was saying, I loved Ivo's tweet yesterday. It made me laugh so much.
Yes.
Was it yesterday?
Yeah.
And you did a tweet about still having university exam stress dreams.
What an on-brand tweet.
Jack was saying
tweet.
How much he loved it.
Thank you very much, Jack. I hope you liked it.
I did.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Ivo Graham. I'm sorry we took you on such an emotional journey.
Yeah. It was very emotional. I feel battered, but I am not in a good way, but I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rosie. Thanks, Alan.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Dos vidania.
Dos vidania, dos korova.
You have one new voice message. New voice messages.
Bobby Mair, it's Helen Bauer here, calling on behalf of Helen Bauer and Rosie Jones Productions, in production with Studio 71 and our producer Jack. We were just wondering whether you were free at any point and fancied travelling into the old centre of Londres to talk to me and Rosie about your childhood. And were you an attention seeker? Did you feel the need to have everyone look at you? Because we just feel like you've got so much to say and we just love to hear from you and spend time with you, Bobby. So please call me. Thank you so much. Bye.
Deleted.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.